much. Numbers chapter 14 this morning, and also Joshua chapter 14. Numbers chapter 14 and Joshua chapter 14. We are taking a little break from our Matthew study. I've got a message in Matthew brewing right now that the Lord is dealing in my heart about. But I felt the Lord just leading me away from that study to preach a couple of other messages today, this morning one and tonight one. And I want to encourage you to hear both of them. I want you to find your place, Numbers chapter 14, Joshua chapter 14. I want you to go to Numbers chapter 14 first. Just hold a finger in Joshua chapter 14. I'm going to preach on one of my heroes in the Bible. We know some about him, not a whole lot, but we know enough to understand what kind of a man of God he was. Numbers chapter 14, verse 22. Now, in Numbers chapter 13 and chapter 14 is the story where the Lord is sending a spy from every tribe of the nation of Israel. There's 12 spies that go and view the promised land. If you remember, 10 of them come back and give an evil report. Two of them, Joshua and Caleb, we'll preach on Caleb today, give a good godly report. And when we come to Numbers chapter 14, verse number 22, the Lord is speaking. This is God speaking. And notice what he says, because all those men, Numbers 14, 22, which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and in the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoke me see it. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, if you mark your Bible, I want you to mark a phrase in verse number 24. The Bible says Caleb had another spirit. Caleb had another spirit. And this morning I preached to you on this subject, Caleb, the man with another spirit. The man with another spirit. Let's pray together. I share this thought. Father, we love you. Please forgive my sins. As I stand before these precious people and stand behind the Word of God to preach it, I know that it's your will that I be clean. And I pray that that's exactly what I am. Forgive me for any shortcomings, any failures. Help me to be thoroughly right with you. Speak to our hearts, challenge us from your Word. May your will be done in this midst. And I pray, Lord, that today that you'll raise up some more Calebs with another spirit. May the will of God be done in Jesus' name. Amen. We can all remember the story beginning in Numbers chapter 13 when the Lord told Moses to send a man from every tribe to spy out the land of Canaan. Among these 12 spies was a man by the name of Caleb. Now when these spies came back, 10 of them gave an evil report that discouraged the people. However, Caleb, along with Joshua, gave a good report. However, this good report, the people did not follow it. And as a result of this people's disbelief, God sentenced the Israelites to a lifetime of wilderness wandering. Now, while the Lord is in progress of passing sentence down on all of these unbelievers, God begins to speak concerning his servant Caleb. And he said, Caleb had another spirit. In other words, there was something different about Caleb that compelled the Lord to speak concerning him. There was something different about Caleb when compared to the others around him. Get this, he didn't go along with the crowd of his day. Caleb had another spirit. He didn't go along with the doubts and fears of his day. No, Caleb had another spirit. He didn't go along with the peer pressure all around him that day. No, Caleb had another spirit. And yet when you fast forward, we're not going to read it, but in Joshua chapter 14, we'll turn there in a little while, but in Joshua chapter 14, verses 6 through 15, we see that Caleb is now 45 years older. Here in Numbers 14, he's 40 years of age. In Joshua 14, he's 85 years of age. And yet we see 45 years later that Caleb still had that other spirit that caused God's blessing to be on his life. Let me pause and say here that in a world full of doubts, God give us some more Calebs with another spirit. May I say right here that in a world where folks are just going along with the tide, just whatever the culture does, whatever America wants to do, just go along with it. God give us some Calebs with another spirit. In a world where compromise and ungodliness are breathing down our necks, God raised up some Calebs from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church that have another spirit. Make no mistakes about it, that when compared to the world around him, sin running rampant, disbelief on every hand, ungodliness breathing down his neck, God spoke and said, Caleb has got another spirit. I don't know about you, but that challenges my heart. You know, this is what our churches and homes need today. We need men and women who God looks down here on earth and says, I like that. That's something different. That's not the same spirit I see in unbelievers. And I want to talk to you about this spirit. I want to give you four things that summarize the spirit of Caleb. As a matter of fact, these four things we see not only when he was 40, but 45 years later when he was 85, we see that these same four things can be true about you and me. I don't know about you, but I want the spirit that Caleb had. I want the spirit that causes God to speak and say, hey, all these people that they don't believe me, they disbelieve me, all these kind of, they're not going to see it, but my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit, I'm going to bless his life. Let me give you four things about his spirit. Number one, he had a spirit of believing God's word. Believing God's word. Now understand this, friends. Caleb had the spirit of believing whatever God told him. We see this. Look at Numbers chapter 13 with me just a moment. Numbers 13, look at verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, send thou men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Notice what God said. God said, Moses, I want you to send a man from every tribe to spy out the land that I have given to you. I've given it to you. Now look at chapter 13, verse 30. This is after the spies come back. They are trying to discourage the people. They're trying to do all this. But now look at verse 30. And Caleb steeled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it. Look at chapter 14 and verse number 6. 14 verse number 6. And Joshua the son of Nun and Caleb, there he is, the son of Jephunneh, which were of them that searched the land, rent their clothes. And they spake unto all the company of the children of Israel, saying, the land which we possess through to search it is an exceeding good land. If the Lord delight in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it us, a land which floweth with milk and honey. Only rebel not ye against the Lord, neither fear ye the people of the land, for they are bread for us, their defense is departed from them, and the Lord is with us, fear them not. See, we see Caleb is among those that God told them, I've already given you the land. And even though everybody else didn't believe it, Caleb had the spirit of believing everything that God told him. We see 45 years later, I want you to turn with me this time to Joshua chapter 14. And look at verse number 6. Now keep in mind what God had told him because he believed in his God. We see that God told him through Moses that I'm going to give you part of the land. I'm going to give you part of that promised land, Caleb. Notice what he said at 85 years old. Look at chapter 14, verse 6. Then the children of Judah came unto Joshua and Gilgal, and Caleb, there he is, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, said unto him, thou knowest the thing that the Lord said unto Moses, the man of God, concerning me and thee in Kadesh Barnea. 40 years old was I when Moses, servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I brought him word again as it was in mine heart. Look at verse number 9. And Moses sware on that day, saying, surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord thy God. Look at verse number 12. Now therefore give me this mountain, whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. What am I seeing here? Here's what I'm seeing is, as a 40-year-old man, he's believing God, and because he believed God, he stood against his peers. Yet at 85 years old, he's still believing God for his promises. May I say something to you? What a testimony. I'm talking about in the midst of a nation, the Israelites, who did not believe God. In the midst of a nation that was ready to stone him in Numbers 14, verse number 10. When his world changed drastically after refusal to enter Canaan, that even at the end of his life, in Joshua chapter 14, We see Caleb still had that spirit of just believing what God said. Make no mistakes about it, because of his faith in God, he withstood unbelievers. Because of his faith in God, he claimed all God had for him. And because of his faith in God, he drove out the Anakims at age 85. The Anakims were the giants. And at 85 years old, the Bible teaches us that he drove them out. And in Joshua chapter 15, verses 13 and 14, you'll notice in Joshua chapter 15 and verse number 11, 14 verse number 11, whichever one it is there, the Bible says that he had the strength to drive out the Anakims. You know what that tells me? It means this. He said that he had as much strength at age 85 as when he was 40 years of age. Now what's that mean? That doesn't mean if you're 85 years old and you don't have as much strength as you were as a 40-year-old that you're wrong with God. That's not what it means. But you know what it does mean? It means that what God promises, he always gives the strength to get it done. And we see that Caleb was a man who believed God. The Bible says in Mark 11, 22, Jesus answering said unto them, have faith in God. Todd was a 3-year-old boy. He was from the state of Rhode Island. He went to the seacoast to fly a kite, but the interesting thing about Todd was he had never flown a kite before. He had never seen it. He had his obvious doubts, but his daddy was with him that day, and his daddy assured him, said, son, don't worry, the kite's going to go up as it's planned. Todd, the 3-year-old boy, unraveled the string and watched the kite take off and began to fly. And that 3-year-old boy was overheard to say, I knew it would fly, Daddy, because you told me it would. God, give us children of God like that. And even when we don't see it, we've never seen it before, we just believe what he says. You ever heard the name Adoniram Judson? Sure you have. Faith in God, the Bible, not the Bible, but this story says, makes great optimists. Over in Burma, Judson was lying in a jail with 32 pounds of chains around his ankles. 32 pounds around his ankles. His feet was bound to a bamboo pole. A fellow prisoner began to jab at him, try to make fun of him a little bit. And he said, Dr. Judson, what about the prospect of the conversion of the heathen now? Trying to make fun of him. And his instant reply was, and I quote, the prospects are just as bright as the promises of God. Lying in a foul jail with 32 pounds of chains around his ankles, and the world trying to mock him, and he says, I'll tell you what I'm going to do while I'm sitting here in this prison. I'm just going to keep believing God. During a especially trying time in the work of the China Inland Mission, Hudson Taylor wrote to his wife and said, we have 25 cents and all the promises of God. That's what he said. John and Charles Wesley, John tells a story. He said, my brother Charles, amid the difficulties of our early ministry, he used to say, if the Lord would give me wings, I would fly. And John said, I'd answer him, if the Lord bid me fly, I'd trust him to give me the wings. What am I saying? I'm saying this. God, give us the spirit of Caleb. The spirit of simply believing everything God says. In the midst of trials and tribulation, in the midst of war and wilderness wandering, have faith in God. I'm reminded how somebody said this, and boy, this is a great statement. Faith is never a blind leap, but a deep, settled conviction that God will do what he promised. I like that. Listen, folks think faith is some mysterious thing. Faith is not even knowing what's on the other side of that wall. So I'm just going to live by faith and jump over there. Whatever comes, comes. That's not faith. You know what faith is? Faith is believing God. That, hey, if he tells you to jump over that wall, then go ahead and do it, because you know he's in it to help you, not hurt you. But you don't just jump over that wall if God doesn't tell you to, friends. What am I saying? I'm saying believe what God has said. During the terrible days of what was known as the Blitz, there was a daddy who was holding his small son by the hand, and they ran from a building that had been struck by a bomb. In the front yard where they were running, there was a large shell hole big enough for bodies, I'm talking about human beings, just to jump down in it for safety. So the man, not really knowing what was at the bottom of that hole, he was seeking shelter as quickly as possible. So he left his son up here and he jumped down into the hole just to make sure that everything was fine. And he began to call up to his son, saying, "Jump, son, jump, son. Daddy will catch you." But the interesting thing is that all the smoke that day was covering the hole, the mouth of that hole. And as the boy was looking down in the hole, maybe you've seen something like that before. The boy was looking down in the hole. He couldn't see his daddy. He could hear his voice, but he couldn't see him because of the smoke. And as he heard his daddy's voice saying, "Jump, jump, I'll catch you," the boy said, "I can't see you, I can't see you." But he heard a voice come back and say, "This is your daddy, and I can see you." And that's really all that matters. Maybe you can't see me, but I can see you. Jump, and I promise I'll catch you. You know, every time God, every now and then, there's a shell hole that goes off in our life. I'm going to preach to you about some of those shell holes tonight. I'm talking about troubles that hit you. And every now and then it covers the hole with smoke. And you can't see God. You can't hardly feel God anywhere around. The only thing you have to go on is His Word. And I'm going to tell you something. His Word is good enough. You may not can see Him, but He's constantly looking at you. He had the spirit of believing God. Secondly, he had the spirit of following God wholly. Let me show you what I'm talking about. Look at Joshua chapter 14. And notice verse number 8. "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me..." Now this is Caleb speaking. "Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly follow the Lord." You know what that word wholly means? It means he cannot do any more than he did. He couldn't do anything else. You know, it's one thing to say that about yourself, isn't it? Because he's saying it about himself. Wait a minute. Look at verse number 9. "And Moses sware on that day, saying, Surely the land whereon thy feet have trodden shall be thine inheritance and thy children's forever, because thou hast wholly followed the Lord my God." Wait a minute. It's one thing for you to say it about yourself. But do you realize Moses said the same thing about him? Moses said, let me tell you something about Caleb. He wholly followed the Lord. You know what the word holy means? It means completely. It means he was completely surrendered. It means that according to Moses and according to Caleb, he could do nothing more than he's doing now. Nothing. It's one thing to say it about yourself. It's another thing for Caleb to say it about you. Excuse me, for Moses to say it about you. But when you read in Numbers chapter 14, it was our text. And in Numbers chapter 14, God is speaking. God is speaking. And God says in Numbers 14, 24, "But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, and hath followed me fully." It's one thing for you to say it. It's another thing for Moses to say it. But it's another ball game when God says it, friends. You know what God said about Caleb? He can't get any closer than he is. He can't do any more than he's doing. He's completely surrendered. He's wholly following me. He's not perfect, but he's doing everything I expect him to do. He has given me everything. You know, we have in America, and even in good, solid churches like this one, we have good, godly people who still yet have a foot hanging off the altar. They've given God everything but that. They've given God a majority, but they're going to keep a few things for themselves. Can I say something to you? God's not satisfied with that. God deserves everything. And what we see about the spirit of Caleb is that he followed God wholly. He followed God completely. He gave God everything. Let me ask you a question. If God spoke about you today, would he say that statement? Would he use your name? Would he say, "But my servant Jody, because he had another spirit and hath followed me fully"? Can God really say that Jody Jenkins has given him everything? Everything. I don't know. I want that. I hope that's true. But I begin to shudder a little bit when I think, what would God say about me? Have I really given him everything? By the way, you cannot go all out for God and have unconfessed sin in your life. You cannot go all out for God and disrespect authority. You cannot go all out for God and hold on to the world at the same time. Julius Caesar, he landed on the shores of Britain with his Roman army. He took a bold and decisive step that would ensure success of his military venture. You know what that general did? When they got up on the I'm talking about right there on the edge of the cliffs of Dover. He said, men, look over the cliffs and look down at the water. When they did, their boats were on fire. Their ships were burning. But not from the enemy. Julius Caesar set his own ships aflame because he didn't want anybody to turn back and retreat. He wanted nobody to have an escape hatch. The only thing they could do is go forward and conquer. And listen, that's exactly what they did. You know what a lot of Christians do? They have a boat sitting in the water. I'll go until it gets hard, and then I'm jumping back in my boat, and I'm on the other side. You know what God's looking for? He's looking for folks who will give him everything. That's what he's looking for. And that's what he deserves. Three little girls were talking about their daddies. One of them said, my daddy's a doctor and he practices medicine. The other one said, mine's a lawyer and he practices law. The third one said, my daddy's a Christian, but he doesn't practice that anymore. The story is told of a man who rode in his car as it was being towed to be repaired. When they arrived at the repair shop, the tow truck driver, he said, I didn't think I was going to make it up that big hill back there. The man said, I didn't either. That's why I kept the brakes on the whole way. Dr. Spurgeon, C.H. Spurgeon, he told about a deep love and devotion that French soldiers had for their leader, Napoleon. He shares how it wasn't at all unusual for a mortally wounded soldier to raise himself up on one elbow to give a final salute to his general. But he said perhaps one of the most eloquent expressions of all came from the lips of a soldier who had been shot in the chest. And as the surgeon was attempting to remove the bullet, this man was awake when he was doing this. Can you imagine that? And as they were digging for that bullet in his chest, that soldier was overheard to say, Doctor, if you dig much deeper, you will come to the emperor. What he was trying to say is that if you get to my heart, you will find that's where Napoleon lives in me. You know, it's a shame that French soldier has committed his life to a man like Napoleon when many of God's children are just nonchalant about it. Let me ask you a question. If we cut your chest open, I'm talking in spiritual terms, if we cut your chest open and your heart was where everybody could see it, who lives there? Who's on your heart? Is that God's residence? The spirit of Caleb was one who wholly followed the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Wife, dear lady who's married, are you pleased if your husband gives you 85% loyalty? Do you want 95% loyalty from him? Do you want 99.999% loyalty from your husband? Any woman in her right mind would say, I want 100% of him. Spiritually, emotionally, physically, all the way through. Amen or not, ladies? It's your time to say amen, ladies. Amen. You don't say amen there, you got problems. Amen. Why should you expect more out of your husband than God should? My wife is here. I think she could preach this message. I've preached it so much. But I guarantee you she doesn't want her husband 99% faithful to her. Can I say something to you? God doesn't want 99% of you either. He wants all 100. Here's what William Booth said. I'll tell you the secret. Here's what he said. I will tell you the secret. God has had all there was of me. There have been men with greater brains than I, even with greater opportunities, but from the day I got the poor of London on my heart and caught a vision of what Jesus Christ could do with them and with me and them, on that day I made up my mind that God should have all of William Booth there was. And if there's anything of power in the Salvation Army, it's because God has had all the adoration of my heart, all the power of my will, and all the influence of my life. Can I say this to you? The devil's a master at trying to get you to look at other people and say, I can't do that. I can't do that like they do. I don't have the opportunity he has. Listen, I wish I could preach there. I wish I could play that instrument. I wish I could do that. I wish I had that church. I wish I did. Listen, he's a master at those kind of things. You know what God is looking for? Willingness. Somebody just says, God, you can have everything I have. He's not looking for greatness. He's looking for willingness. I'm telling you, his name was Chrysler. He was the famous violinist. Here's what he said. You know, some people say, hey, you want to serve God, you're going to have to give up things. I mean, it's ridiculous. Wait a minute. Here's what this violinist said. Narrow's the road that leads to the life of a violinist. Hour after hour, day after day, week after week, for years, I lived with my violin. There were so many things I wanted to do that I had to leave undone. There were so many places I wanted to go that I had to miss if I was to master the violin. The road that I traveled was a narrow road, and the way was hard. And there again, it's ridiculous when somebody gives that much devotion to a musical instrument. And God's children don't give that much attention to the living God of the universe. Number one, he had the spirit of believing God. Number two, he had the spirit of following him fully. Number three, he had the spirit of depending on God for victory. We see this in Joshua chapter number 14 and verse number 12. Notice the language here. Now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. Do you see his spirit here? See, something else that summarized his spirit was that through his life was how he constantly depended on God. Constantly. For instance, in Numbers chapter 14, verses 6 through 9, then Joshua chapter 14, verse 12, get this, even though he already had God's promise, he had God's promise. He wanted to make it clear that he was not depending on his own ability, but he was depending on God for victory. His confidence wasn't in himself. Hey, let me tell you something. If Caleb could come back from the dead and with his military know-how, there's not a one of us that wants to take him on. I'll guarantee it. You say, I would. Yeah, you can talk big because he's not here to come. I'll guarantee you one thing. That man knew how to fight, friends. That man was a military genius. That man was a military powerhouse. I mean, he had all kinds of experience. He was there for the Battle of Jericho. He was there for it all. He's had so much experience. But he made it clear. He said, when this battle is over and done, if it's won, it'll be God that did it. That's the spirit of Caleb. The spirit of Caleb is true humility. It's realizing that in himself he's nothing, but his God is everything. I'm telling you that he was a humble man. He depended on God for victory. There's one person that said it this way. I believe the first test of a truly great man is his humility. Really great men have a feeling that the greatness is not in them, but through them. That they could do or be anything else God made them to be. M.R. DeHaan put it this way, humility is something we should constantly pray for, yet never thank God we have it. Do you hear that? M.R. DeHaan, humility is something we should constantly pray to God for, but never thank him that you have it. I'm saying, Caleb had the spirit of Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Have this spirit of complete dependence upon God. Then a fourth thing about his spirit was he had a spirit not only of believing God's word and following God completely and depending on God for victory, but number four, he had the spirit of giving God all the praise. Giving God all the praise. We see this in Joshua chapter 14 again. Notice verse number 10. The Bible says, and now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said. On and on you can read about this dear man of God. And I'm telling you, again, when he could have said so many things, my military know-how, my experience that I've gone through, all these kind of things, look, hey, I know how to wield a sword, and look where it's got me. Not Caleb. Caleb said, let me tell you why I'm still alive at 85 years old. Let me tell you why I'm here with as much strength now as when I was 40 years old. Let me tell you why I'm getting ready to take this mountain. Let me tell you why the Lord has kept His word in my life. The Lord has done what He said. I'm going to tell you something. Now, I challenge you to do this. We're just about done, but let me challenge you to do this. One of the interesting things about Caleb is when you read about him, when he is the one speaking, not when somebody's speaking about him, but when he's the one speaking in the Word of God, I challenge you to look at it. Almost every time the man speaks, he's praising God. Read it. Do a word study. Look up the name Caleb. And watch for every time he speaks, and you tell me if I'm not telling you the truth. Almost every time the man speaks in the Bible, he's praising God. You know, I'm telling you, he wasn't praising Joshua in the army. He wasn't praising the Israelites. He was praising God. He wasn't praising himself. He had the spirit of taking credit for nothing, giving all the praise to God. You know, I can see him coming out of Egypt. And yes, he came out of Egypt. I can see him come out of Egypt saying, praise God. I can see him going through the Red Sea and looking at the sea here and the sea there and saying, praise God, look at this. I can see him, listen to me, going across the Jordan River, through the Jordan River. I can see him walking around that mighty wall of Jericho, and on that seventh day it crumbles, and saying, I can just hear his voice say, praise God. What am I saying? I'm saying he had the spirit of giving praise to God. We need that same spirit. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoiced, and my song will I praise him. Psalm 44:8, in God we boast all the day long, and praise the name forever, and praise thy name forever. Psalm 71:6, by thee have I been holding up from the womb. Thou art he that took me out of my mother's bowels. My praise shall be continually of thee. Psalm 107:8, 15, 21, 31, oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. And for his wonderful works to the children of men. 1 Peter 2:9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Psalm 148 says this. Let's see if there's any questions after this psalm. Listen to this. Praise ye the Lord. Praise ye the Lord from the heavens. Praise him in the heights. Praise ye him, all his angels. Praise ye him, all his host. Praise ye him, sun and moon. Praise him, all ye stars of light. Praise him, ye heavens of heavens, and ye waters that be above the heavens. Let them praise the name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He hath also established them forever and ever. He hath made a decree which shall not pass. Praise the Lord from the earth, ye dragons and all deeps, fire and hail, snow and vapor, stormy wind, fulfilling his word, mountains and all hills, fruitful trees and all cedars, beasts and all cattle, creeping things and flying fowl. Kings of the earth and all people, princes and all judges of the earth, both young men and maidens, old men and children, let them praise the name of the Lord. For his name alone is excellent. His glory is above the earth and heaven. He also exalteth the horn of his people, the praise of his saints, even the children of Israel, a people near unto him. Praise ye the Lord. Any questions, friends? He's saying, let everything praise him. The sun, the moon, old people, young people, children, adults, everything. Let it praise God. Hudson Taylor was scheduled to speak at a large church in Australia. The moderator got up and he introduced Hudson Taylor as our illustrious guest. Hudson Taylor got up and said, dear friends, I'm a little servant of an illustrious master. Wakefield tells a story of a famous inventor of the telegraph. His name was Samuel Morse. Once when Samuel Morse was asked if he ever encountered problems or situations where he didn't know what to do, here's what Samuel Morse said, the inventor of the telegraph. Here's what he said. Quote, in other words, if you ever encountered situations you didn't know what to do, quote, more than once. And whenever I could not see my way clearly, I knelt down and prayed to God for light and understanding. You know, Morse received many honors from his invention of the telegraph, but here's what he said, and I quote again. I made a valuable application of electricity, not because I was superior to other men, but solely because God, who meant it for mankind, must reveal it to someone, and he was pleased to reveal it to me. You know what his first message was? What God hath wrought. I'm telling you, it's all wrapped up in God. All of it. All of it. I am nothing. He is everything. If you don't get anything else out of this message, leave saying this. I am nothing. He is everything. I am nothing. He is everything. I am nothing. He is everything. I'm telling you this morning, friends, when you start thinking too highly of yourself, that's when we start digging our own grave. I am nothing, He is everything. I am nothing, He is everything. This is the spirit of Caleb. It's not by might, it's not by power, it's by God in my life. That's the spirit of Caleb in the midst of a majority of unbelievers. I'm talking about Caleb. You know what people try to say today? It's just so hard. I mean, look at the direction America's going. Look at the world. I mean, turn your TV on. Notice the... Listen, look at the news. Look at all the bad news. It's just terrible. Don't tell Caleb. He was in the midst of a generation of unbelievers who didn't know God. They didn't want anything to do with God. And they picked up stones and they were getting ready to take him out. But in the midst of those unbelievers, when God saw all of it, Caleb called his attention. And he said, but my servant Caleb has got another spirit. And I in my heart am saying, God, give me that spirit. I want that spirit. Even though he had the same circumstances. He was born in Egypt. He saw the miracles. He saw the Red Sea part. He suffered Egyptian cruelness. He had the same circumstances, but he had a different spirit. He had a spirit of believing God, following Him wholly, depending on Him for victory, giving Him the praise. And for 45 years, Caleb's vision burned in his heart. He wasn't content with the average. He wanted all God had for him. And as a result, 45 years later, God rewarded him with a place called Hebron. You know what the word Hebron means? Fellowship. And may I tell you this morning, God has a mountain for you. He wants to give you a mountain like He wanted to give Caleb. And all He's looking for is the spirit that Caleb had. Do you have it? Do you want it? It's yours for the taking. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love You and thank You for this day. Thank You for Your goodness, Your mercy, and Your grace. Help us, Lord, to be obedient to You. Your heads are bowed, Your eyes are closed. They're beginning to play through softly as soon as they get prepared. I ask you this morning, when God looks at you, does He see another Caleb? By the way, you cannot have this other spirit of Caleb's unless you are indwelt by the Spirit of God. Are you truly a born-again child of God? Do you really know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there been a time where you've trusted Christ and Christ alone? If not, why don't you come? Let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Lord loves you. Jesus died for you. Come and let us take a Bible and share with you the gospel. Please. Or maybe this morning you're a believer and you say, Jody, boy, you're preaching about Caleb and this spirit that he had, that God looked at him and said, that's another spirit, that's another spirit. See, it's another spirit away from the disbelief that he saw, the unfaithfulness that he saw. God saw something different in Caleb. I don't know about you, but I want God to see something different in me too. How many days say, Jody, I'm a Christian, I'm a believer. God is dealing in my heart about this spirit of Caleb. It may be you already have it, and He's just patting you on the back saying, keep it up, keep it up, keep it up. How many of you say, Jody, God's speaking to me, whether it be He's encouraged me to keep it or He's asking me to get it. You say, would you pray for me? God's speaking to me about this. Raise your hand in the air with mine. Be an honest person. Say, I want this spirit. I want it. I really want it. God bless you. Thank you. You put your hand right back down. God bless you. Is there somebody here today say, Jody, specifically, I need to give God everything. I don't believe God can look at me and say, he or she is wholly following me, fully following me, completely following me. That's what God's dealing with me about. I want to give Him everything. I want to give him all, 100%. Maybe God's dealing with you that way. Would you raise your hand in the air with mine? Be honest. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. You put your hand down. Maybe you say, Jody, I need to be saved. I'm not sure I'm a Christian. I believe God's dealing with me. Is there anybody like that? Would you raise your hand? Anybody at all? Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Father, take this thought and use it. Bless it in a mighty way. Raise up some more Calebs from this congregation. Help this pastor be another Caleb. Help this church to be another Caleb with another spirit. And help people to respond. Your heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Brother Gary's getting ready to sing. As soon as he begins to sing, if God is speaking to you, I want to ask you to leave your place and come. If you need to be saved, you come. Let us take a Bible. We'll sit down with you. Spend all the time we need to with you. As Brother Gary begins to sing, if God is speaking to you, would you come now? Would you please?
All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him. In his presence daily live.
Desire. Many times I fall short of it, but I have that desire. May the Lord help us with this. Let me encourage you while we're getting some information here. Be back in the service tonight. The Lord has specifically burdened my heart for those who are going through trouble. It may be a sickness, it may be a health problem, it may be a family situation, whatever it is. There's a message. I've already preached it here, but I cannot get away from it. And I know this is the message at this hour. Now, he may change this. Every now and then, he'll do that. He'll say, you know, it's different. I'm just testing you. I don't want you to do that one instead. I know you don't know what I'm talking about, right? Sure you do. But I want you to be back. Even if you don't need the message tonight, it's one of those messages that you'll need it sooner or later. God gives you life. May the Lord help you with this, okay? We have one coming today. God bless her. This is Katie Webb. She has trusted Christ as her Savior, and she has been scripturally immersed in a church of like faith from Central Baptist Church. And she is coming today. She desires to join this church by statement. And what this means, we've spoken with her. She knows the Lord is her Savior. She's been baptized scripturally, and she feels the Lord leading her here. And we're thrilled about this. God bless you. What's the motion of the church that we accept her by statement, please? Can I get Brother Cash? Give me a second. Brother Mark, all in favor, say aye and raise your hand high. Any opposed, same sign. So Carrie, you have signed your life away. No, I'm just kidding with you. But like I just told you, we want you to help us. There are folks that you can help us reach in this area. We want you to do that, okay? We're going to ask you to stay there. This precious family can stay with you. All of that. God bless them. And I want many of you ladies to come by and shake her hand. Some of you men can shake her hand too. Don't hug her neck, but you can shake her hand, okay? And we're glad you're here. God bless you. Praise the Lord for that, okay? Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. I'm going to ask Brother Larry Trent, sir, if you wouldn't mind to lift your voice in prayer.